grace and faith through Jesus Christ or not.
Amen. Amen. We have this. You do. Praise God. Right in midstream. We want to welcome you to church tonight here at Paris Christian Center. And we want to remind you, you are the church. And whatever you're going through, if it's not good, it has an expiration date. It will stop. It will end. Can you say amen? Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Fellas in the sound booth, I've already taken this little brown scrunchy thing off so I don't lose it on the floor, or get it stuck in my shoe and take it home. I'm just going to put it right there. Amen? Welcome to communion tonight. I'm about to give you a word from the word. And would you please do me a favor, and I'll do the same. Can we shut our phones off, please? Let's just shut our phones off. And I'm so glad to be here. How many of you came here expecting something tonight?
Amen.
Good. I'll tell you somebody that Sam McElhaney, for all the years that I've known him, he has always come in expecting to get something from God. And he'll pull something out of the service, even if it's somebody's teeth. So welcome, and I'm going to begin right now, a short word, and then we're going to take communion. Does anybody have to be out here at a certain time? Good. Usually there's a few people. I won't mention anybody's name, but there's usually some people that are. If you would, please turn with me to John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11 in the King James translation in the sound booth. We got it. Father, thank you for your word. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. You know what you're doing with us. You've given us a very clear-cut way to go. It's your word. Over 7,500 promises to mankind, and 8,500 if you include promises to the earth. So we thank you, Lord, for your word. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
Now here's Jesus, and Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees, now people, nobody knew the word like the scribes and the Pharisees, brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst of everybody, they said unto him, or say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, the first thing I want you to see is, where was the fella? Caught him in the very act. Because what he's going to ask is really important here. He said, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he had not heard them. Let me have some more, fellas. I think we were going to verse 11. So they continued to ask him, hey, Jesus, master, teacher, we're asking you a question. It's a valid question. It's scriptural. We caught this woman in the very act of adultery. The word says, Moses said, she should be stoned. What do you say? And so when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up because he had stooped down the ground. And he started scratching in the ground. Many believe he was writing the sins of the scribes of the Pharisees in the ground. And they kept on and they kept on. Look here, there's some people you don't do that to. Anybody that has the anointing, If you press them very much, they might tell you some things you didn't think they knew. Amen? And again, he stooped down, and he wrote on the ground again. They kept after him because they said, he said to them right here, he that is without sin, you cast the first stone. Now, I want you to feel like that tonight. I want you to understand something tonight. You're about to take communion, and you don't need to condemn yourself because the devil will certainly do it, and you probably have enemies that will condemn you. Your ears might start itching at a certain time, and you know something's going on. Amen? But don't condemn yourself. I'm trying to get you to a place. We're going to take communion. Communion is a time to set you free and refresh you and bless you. And it's a time to take all condemnation off of your life. Condemnation doesn't do anything to get you more saved or get you to turn from sin. It doesn't do it. It just doesn't do it. We have to understand that. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. See, they were convicted by their own conscience. These are the ones they always wanted to be telling on other people and telling folks to do and praying on the street corners where everybody could hear them pray. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, they went out one by one, beginning with the oldest first, even to the youngest, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And my prayer tonight, that as you take communion, that you're left alone and it's just you and Jesus. Because if it's just you and Jesus, you're in a good way. Because he ain't got nothing bad to say to you. If you've said, Jesus, I'm lost and undone, come into my heart, you've become a child of God. Now, he'll correct his children, but he won't overcorrect them. Have you ever overcorrected in your car? It could be a terrible thing. But, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, they went out one by one, beginning with the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. There was another woman, a Syrophoenician woman, in the book of John. And leave that up there. I'm not through with that yet. And she said, shall I draw water for you, sir? Or he said to her, draw me some water. And it wasn't correct, though, to speak to somebody from another country for a Jewish man like him. And she said, is that right for you to? And she said, I've not had that happen many times. He said, I want you to know something. I have living water. And if you drink that living water, you'll never be thirsty again. And she said, sir, give me that water so I don't have to come here anymore. He said, all right, I will. Now, this is how Jesus works. And I want you to notice, first of all, it wasn't him and the whole crowd. It was him and the Syrophoenician woman. And he said, go get your husband, and I'll get you some of that. We'll have some of that water. And she said, sir, I don't have a husband. He said, you've spoken correctly. You've had five husbands, and the man you're with right now is not your husband. Now, that's what I'm talking about. Those gifts, that anointing, those nine spiritual gifts are available to the body of Christ. If you've got the faith, all you got to do is believe that they're for you. I began to use those gifts before I was ever in the ministry, because before I was ever in the ministry, I was a believer. I was a stoned-out punk kid on the east side of San Jose, California, and I became a believer. And when I became a believer, He began to change my life. I'm still not perfect, but I'm still a son. I wake up every morning, and the first thing I am, before I'm a friend or a neighbor or an enemy or a father or a husband, I'm a son. And if you've asked Christ into your life, you're a child of God. And that means a lot in the spirit world. We have to understand that, and we have to believe that. And she said, sir, I perceive that you're some kind of a prophet, aren't you? Well, she went back to the town like Jesus told her, and she said, come see a man that told me everything I've ever done. And they all came out, and he blessed them. He didn't speak a curse on them. He did not speak a judgment on them. He didn't make them feel bad about themselves. He blessed them. He gives me living water, and I thirst no more. Amen, brother. Amen, brother Sam. Amen. Well, and they which heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and standing in the midst of the woman. They say that Jesus was on the ground. He was writing their name and putting their sin right next to their name. Whatever he did, it made a believer out of them. They stopped worrying about that lady that was caught in adultery, and they went to go find out where that guy was she was committing adultery. I don't know, do that. They got things straight. May God never have to put us in our place like that. Amen? May we always be kind enough. See, it's an exchange. The gospel and the cross of Jesus is built on forgiveness. The kind you receive and the kind that you give to others. The Lord says, okay, I'm going to forgive you. But from now on, I want you to forgive others. And it's not going to be easy to learn how to do that, but I'm going to teach you how to forgive people and how not to look down on people. I'm still learning. I'm glad to be in a room full of people that's already got this one down. You need to lay hands on me as we go out. Amen? Grab some of this oil up here and just slap me with the oil. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those your accusers? Has no man condemned you? And this is a message about try to teach yourself and retrain yourself not to condemn yourself. And try to withdraw from people that condemn you, because that's not the right lead. That's not going to get us anywhere. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We know that tonight. In just a moment, the most important thing in our life is going to be, will we receive his forgiveness, and will we give forgiveness in our heart for others? That's the simple way that it works. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. And he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned you? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn you. I'm not here to condemn you. God hasn't brought you into this place to condemn you. God has brought you into this place, and as he told this woman many years ago, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. I'm going to teach you how not to sin anymore. It's a process, isn't it, brother? It's a process. I'm going to teach you how to be a better person. And I'm not going to do it by being ugly to you and you're making you feel bad about yourself, because that won't get you anywhere. No, you've got to see yourself as a son and a daughter of the living God. And he wants to help you, and he wants to help you tonight. I'm not talking about something in the future. I'm talking about tonight. He wants you to be set free. And when you take, by the time you take communion tonight, he wants you to know that you're one of his children if you've asked Christ into your life. If you haven't asked Christ and you want to, just come up to the front. We'll make a quick work of that. Let's look now in John chapter 3 verse 16 and 17. And my thought tonight is don't condemn yourself and don't condemn others. And don't live in the fear of men. Many today are living in the fear and the drudgery of other people that think they're better than everybody else. And that's just not true. There's nobody that can stand it. There's only one that's better, and he never sinned. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the lily of the valley and the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. His name is Jesus, the one and only heavyweight champion of the world, Savior. There's only one. Amen? And we let that be known every week. For God, very familiar. A lot of people can quote this these verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many of you have asked Christ into your life? Let me see your hands. For as many of you as ask Christ into your life, he's not condemning you. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And everlasting life has to be maintained. You know you can have good days and bad days. You know you can have days where you feel like you're awful. And you know you have days where you just his love just outshines the sun. Amen? Amen. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. You have to understand that. The mission of God at this time through the finished work of Jesus Christ is not to browbeat people and make them feel bad about themselves. I have times still, I just feel bad about myself. The devil and some of his helpers make me feel bad. Anybody else like that? Yeah. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Christ might be saved. And I'm going to tell you something about salvation. Salvation is a progressive work in every person. Nobody is saved one minute and then never sins again. Nobody. I haven't seen that in 51 going on 52 years. I haven't seen that. That's just not the way it is. In fact, a lot of times some of the worst sinners of the bunch, the ones that think that they don't have any problems anymore, and they see everybody else's problem. Well, I've got a gift. I can see when people's doing bad. That's not a gift. For God's sake, that's just being judgmental. That's not going to help us. Because see, when you stand praying, Mark 11:25, forgive if you have aught against any, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. But if you will not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. So there's an exchange that goes on. And that is exchange is merely this. I'll tell you, I'm always testing people. I'm always messing up, and people just have to forgive me. I just have a knack for it. But it's a trade-off, and it's something we have to learn. I want you to learn that before this service is over tonight, that you're good enough. That's the truth. That's the truth of Genesis to the maps. That's the truth. You're good enough. Either that or the cross was in vain. You're good enough. Look at me, every one of you. You're good enough. You're good enough. He loves you. You don't have to get good enough. Christ, through the cross, made you good enough. So, God so loved the world. He loved the world. And that language in the Greek is so intense. It says, God really, really, really loved the world so much that he gave what Satan never thought he would give his own son, but he did. And though it says in 1 Corinthians, if the princes of this world would have known that God was going to take it to that level and give that big of a thing while they're sitting down there playing poker? Well, they're playing five-card stud, I'm pretty sure. Says they would have never crucified Jesus. Jesus did more harm to the darkness that wants to light on you and stay on you when he was crucified. And he said it, and he meant it, and he meant it, and he said it. One of the last seven things Jesus said from the cross, one of them was this: it is finished. If you're saved, say it with me. It is finished. Christ has made me good enough. See, that's the way it works for everybody. See, there's a trade-off. I'm going to forgive you, but you're going to forgive others. And you're not good at it yet, but I'm going to teach you how to do it. And he does, and he'll teach us if we let him. Much of what David wrote about in the Psalms, he wrote about, God, teach me. There's so many things I don't know. Would you please teach me? Praise God. Our words to others should be saving words, not condemning words. And our words to ourselves, the same. It doesn't seem like that, but that's the way it really is. So let's just go on and turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. I'm speaking about condemnation tonight, and it doesn't have a good place in anybody's life in this room. Now, that doesn't mean that a preacher can't preach about sin and cleansing and doing right things every once in a while, but he can't preach that all the time. He better be preaching some good stuff and telling people how good they are, because that's exactly how God feels about you. In that way, as Pastor Kelly fellowshipped with Keisha Lewis, that's how she's changing. Did anybody condemn you when you came here, Keisha? No. You know what? Nobody's worthy. Nobody's worthy to condemn you. We all just people. We all want the same thing. That we could say at the end of our life, as the Apostle Paul said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And I kept working on my salvation. Leave every man to work out his own salvation, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, 13, with fear and trembling. That means be serious. Be serious. Don't waste more days. Be serious about working things out. You and God working things out. And forgiving and giving grace everywhere you go. And mercy. Mercy rejoices over judgment. Blessed are the merciful. And the Beatitudes, for they shall see God. Romans 8, verses 1 through 3. We're talking about condemnation tonight, and that it doesn't have a place in the believer's life on the one hand or the other. And it says here, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the flesh, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You've been set free. When did that happen? The day that you confess, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Save me, Jesus. That's what it takes. Anybody can do that. Anybody can cry for help. Really stepped out on the porch yesterday, and she said, Angelo, I think somebody's crying for help out there. We never did find them, but that could have been. I don't know. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but they walk after the Spirit. They wake up and they start out by saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, into your hands, that was another of those seven sayings, into your hands I commit my spirit. I trust you with my life. Do with it what you think is best. But after the Spirit, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, let me tell you something. The law couldn't get her done. The law couldn't do it. It took a great act of mercy to redeem mankind, not just the giving of the law. It took the mercy of the cross to set us free. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. He came here to set us free. And to do that, he had to deal with sin. And to deal with sin, he had to become sin. 2 Corinthians 5:17-21 says this. He that knew no sin became sin for us. He didn't just have a little tryst with it. He became sin. He became sin. More important than that, he became your sin. And he became my sin. And when we can acknowledge what really happened, it's like when I tell you at the end when we have the bread and the cup, and I say, stop worrying about Pontius Pilate and what he did. Quit worrying about the Roman soldier and what he did. Quit worrying about Russia and what they did. You put him on the cross, and so did I. We put him on the cross. And everybody that will acknowledge that will be set free of the curse of sin. There is, therefore, now no condemnation. There's no condemnation for you. If there's condemnation there, it snuck in there. It won't help you. And I'm asking you tonight when we take communion to let it go and just let God love you, because that's all any of us can do. That's all we can do. Last place tonight, Luke chapter 6 and verse 37. Judge not. Now here we go. Here's what I was preaching at just a few minutes ago. And you won't be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. So what that means is this. What we're looking to accomplish here tonight is this. I'm going to ask you to examine yourself as the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians. And here's the thing. If you need to forgive somebody, you best be getting after that. Because he forgave us, didn't he? Oh, yes, he did. We're not saved by our own goodness. We're saved by the goodness of God. And the word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if a person's going to take communion, let that person examine themselves. And then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And you put 1 John 1:9 with that. It says, if while we are examining ourselves, if we will confess our sins to the Lord, nobody else. He is faithful, and he has a legal right in the realm of the Spirit to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from your sin. I'm going to ask you if you would make a place, make an altar. Now, you don't have to take communion if you don't want. We won't even ask why you do or don't do what you do. Or come join me up here. But examine your heart. See if there's anything there that shouldn't be there. If there is, confess it. Don't try to hide it. Tell the Lord all about it.